Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org, where community grows.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kudagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, today we have our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo coming on. She is, as you know, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. And then before that, we have Robert Lilligren, our CEO of Native American Community Development here in Minnesota in the Twin Cities. And I just wanted to bring on our new family member here, not new to me, but new maybe to our people out here on Native Roots Radio. But we have Misko, and Misko is now the producer of Native Roots Radio, and really happy to bring her in. And I've known you for a long time, so grateful that you have the capacity to help out Native Roots Radio with all the things that that come with a national radio show. So I really appreciate you, Misko. Thanks a lot for, one, coming on. I know you didn't expect to come on today, but and also joining the AM 950 Civic Media and Native Roots Radio family.
For sure. I'm super excited to be a part of the Native Roots Radio family. You've been my teacher for over 10 years, so I think when the radio show started is also when I began learning from you, as well as working with you as I got older. And just, I don't know, I feel like you helped me become the young lady that I am. And I'm just grateful that I had a lot of experience in the community and then also working with you all this time.
You know what I'm grateful for, too? Not only those things of knowing you and seeing how great of a young person you've become, but you always have been. But also, when we talk about our sacred animals, you have one about to jump on your head. So that's awesome to have our sacred animals living at your house, too.
Yep, I love my kitty. Her name is Mila, short for Kamimila, which means butterfly in Dakota. And I love her. She's a big ball of energy. I always say our animals are our spirit protectors. So whenever I'm going through like scary times, she's always there to comfort me. And I know that, you know, she picks up on energy. And so she definitely like protects me.
Let's talk a little bit about what you've been doing past. And I know we were lucky, and we'll talk more about that as time progresses. But you were the manager at Native Roots Radio, or Native Roots Market, trading post at Dayton's Market. And now we're coming up on another year of that. We're at the State Fair. But you've had a lot of great experience, college, nail school, you've been doing a lot of things, and also your last work with Minneapolis Indian Center, which really accentuates what you're going to be doing here on Native Roots Radio, but just the skills that you have. So you're very well-rounded. I don't know if you want to talk about any of your past endeavors.
Yeah, I think ever since I especially being like growing up on the East Side and going to like Ames and Harding, I've always had like an amazing Native American educational like route growing up, and especially with, you know, our Native advisory class, as well as like all the language and arts classes that I was able to take at Harding, along with the Native youth groups that I put myself in, just so that I can further strengthen my identity as like a Native person. And like being a part of like all of that kind of shaped me and like guided me towards working in the community and like working for youth. And my past job that I just had was working directly with youth. And I don't know, I was always told that the youth are the next culture bearers, the next generation to learn and teach the language. And so I just felt that responsibility bestowed upon me from my mentors, you and a lot of other people in the community, like put that into me and how important our identities are. And yeah, my first job was working at Ende Young. I worked with you part-time. I worked with the Indian Center part-time. I was in and out of college, and I've had, you know, the quite a journey in college. You know, my first year, COVID happened, and then, you know, a lot of personal, like losing family members while being in college is really hard. And so I'm just navigating life as a young adult, and it's really cool to see all the different journeys that our young Native people are going on. You know, not all of us are on the same journey, but somehow, for me, I just feel very grateful to be able to contribute to my community through my education, through my work, and then now I get to work with you on the radio.
And we'll be doing other projects together. But what's really exciting, Misko, and I know you've been a guest over the years too on Native Roots Radio, but when us old people, us baby elders, talk about the future, I always think about you and how proud I am of a lot of the Gen Z people. And you come to mind with knowing your language, and for you, you know Dakota, Lakota, and Ojibwe, and then knowing your history too, and knowing who you are. And that's something my generation and a generation before really lost. So that's when we talk about the positive things that's happening with our youth, you come to mind. And I know you work with other people too that are Gen Z, I should say, that are really reclaiming who they are. And I just want to say a big pinigigi, and people listening, this is one of the persons I always think about when I talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. And again, it comes in many different shapes and like forms of like just being a young person in our community. You know, some people are doing like direct advocacy work, being on boots on the ground, as they say, and doing things like that. But another way of like resistance is being an artist, like creating, you know, regalia, dancing, doing poetry. I know a lot of singer-songwriters. I think just being like who we are is a form of resistance. And I don't know, I'm just grateful to be here. You know, we wouldn't be here without the culture bearers before us. And so it's a great like feeling to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah, definitely. And you're a great example of that. And that some, you know, that our generation's doing something right to support people like you, and especially you. It's just an amazing thing. And I can't wait, you know, someday, you know, I'll be old, and we have to hand our things down in a good way to our young ones. And we always have to talk about that in a good way. Yeah, it's great to see you and a lot of other people too that are really stepping up. And again, I think about your generation. I think about your generation in a good way, and I know that isn't always the norm. I was talking at the University of Minnesota just a couple days ago, and they gave me kind of a round table after I spoke, and they were really happy that how I spoke about Gen Z saving us during the Biden election, but also not taking any crap like we did as young people from generations, that you're standing up, and that's a good thing. Hey, we are here with Misko right now, and the new producer of Native Roots Radio. And we're waiting for Robert Lilgren to jump on. He's stuck on a bus somewhere. So we, Misko and I might still talk a little bit more here afterwards. But hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after the short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way, to those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people, to those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find, to those that turn away the so-called non-accepted, to those that bring us together, and to those living outside keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot. Hey, Misko, we're back with Misko and talking about things. I just got a message from Robert, and he's backstage, but I think he might have the wrong link. I don't know. I don't see him. So as I'm talking a little bit, maybe you can send that. So that's really good. So this, we're giving you an example of what kind of work Misko does and will be doing here on Native Roots Radio, because for me, I cannot, like, tap my head and rub my stomach at the same time. So it's really good to have a Misko on and in the background here. And in, right now, too, in the foreground, while we're talking about, you know, her taking over the production and producing of a Native Roots Radio here on Civic Media and AM 950 and across Turtle Island. So we're really, really excited about this. There's a couple things going on, you know, and I'll get, did you send it, Misko? Very cool. I'm going to just message him and say, check your email. We do this stuff, again, we do this stuff on live radio, and it's pretty exciting. And, I remember, well, let me just tell you a real quick story, or jump in on the story. Misko, you did announcements, live TV announcements at the high school that you went to and that I taught at. And one of the things I noticed, which was funny, is that, you know, we were always live through the whole school. So 2,000 people would check your email, or would not check your email, but would be on. And whenever we did a pre-record, the talent would make mistakes. But when we did a live version, you know, there's always mistakes. It's the how you recover from it. You know, Miles Davis always said, it isn't the first note that's a mistake, it's the second note. And so I've always thought about that. And I always thought it was kind of interesting, too, that your friends that did it also would make mistakes when we did tape and didn't make mistakes when we were live, which was really interesting. Hey, there's our friend Robert Lilgren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. And I was just introducing Robert, our new producer, Misko. And I was also saying, when we talk about, you and I and a lot of other people on Native Roots Radio talk about the young ones coming up and how proud we are, I always think of Misko. And welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, bonjour, Robert. Bonjour, Misko. Nice to meet you. I feel like we may have met somewhere before. Maybe not. But welcome, and thanks for your help getting in here. Took me a minute. My apologies.
No, we appreciate it. It can be stressful when you're on the bus, but you've probably met Misko. She ran the media at Minneapolis Indian Center, and she's a former student of mine.
Ah, very good. Maybe that's where you might look familiar. Yeah. And then I don't know if you guys get down to this end of Franklin very much, but Franklin has completely torn up between Chicago and Lyndale. I live right on Franklin. So my 10-minute bus ride turns into a 25-minute ordeal with the detours. I have to walk 4 blocks. Usually I get on up right in front of my building. So there, now I'll stop griping.
So, no, I appreciate you coming on, and it's can be stressful, you know, and I appreciate you being relaxed and coming on. And again, I appreciate Misko coming on and talking about her new role with Native Roots Radio. So we're really excited.
So I'm even a little more scattered and less prepared than usual.
Well, I think we should just lead off to what we both know, and that's talk a little bit about Native American Community Development Institute for people that don't know what that is or what that means. And I think we can free for all that one right now.
Cool. Great. Yeah. So today was the launch of our Four Sisters Farmers Market.
What?
So this is the first market. It runs now through the end of October. People can check out the Facebook page, Four Sisters Farmers Market, or the NACDI page, NACDI.org, for more info. I will say this. It was the largest and most robust crowd for an opening I have ever seen in the 12 years of the market, 10, 12 years. It's just growing. You know, it's such a great place to be. There's food vendors, a lot of native and organic food vendors. There's prepared food vendors, crafts, beading, and things that are for sale. And so every Thursday now from 11:30 to 3:00, is that the right hours?
Yep.
The right hours. Stop on down. It's just a happening place. And yeah, just exciting to see everyone again. Yeah, and then connected to that, or related to that, is our Four Sisters Urban Farm. And that's just a few blocks out, down by the Midtown Greenway here, which is a major bike pedestrian amenity in South Minneapolis. And tomorrow at Four Sisters, they're going to be planting seeds and protecting waters is the event. And so it's sacred water, shared future events, learn, reflect, and act in honoring Dakota stewardship of this land. And Hope Flanagan from Dream of Wild Health will be leading that. And then on Saturday, this Saturday, June 6th at 10 a.m., from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're planting the medicine garden down at Four Sisters Farm. So people can join in there. That should be very meaningful. I plan to be there for a bit. There's so much going on. I'll be moving around, but I'll be there for a bit to plant medicines.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's just so a lot awesome. Going on. And then I'm guessing you might have plugged this already. I wasn't listening on my way in, but at our All My Relations Arts Gallery on Saturday at 1 p.m., there's an artist talk and a painting workshop. And so the show is Unsi Said So, you know, grandmother said so, and it's just an amazing show. And so the artist will be here. Danielle Seawalker is her name, and she'll be participating in artist talk and leading a workshop.
That's awesome. And Misko and I were in an important meeting, and also I got knocked off of Facebook because I was trying to do some things on there. So we spent 4 hours trying to figure that out, or we would have been down at the market. And
Did you get put in Facebook jail?
Yeah, I think so, because we tried to change the password, and it was like, we don't believe it's you. And, of course, there's no human being to talk to there, so we're here we are. But, Misko, weren't you, as a young person, part of Dream Wild Health?
Yeah, I think from, when I was 14 to 18, I worked there, and then I was an intern. That was my first technical job. So that was super fun and very, again, just build my identity and who I am today.
I love it. Yeah, very cool. They do such great programming, especially around youth. And with, as a staff, NACD was out there a couple weeks ago preparing for our Four Sisters Urban Farm seedling giveaway and sort of packing and labeling seedlings. And then we hosted the youth that were out there for a lunch. We had sandwiches and stuff. But and then they were sitting doing cultural stuff, right? They sat in a circle. They were talking about history and traditions and language. It's just beautiful. It's such a great vibe out at that farm.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of great vibe, you don't know how sad I am that we didn't make the market today, but we would definitely will, and I definitely will be there, and we'll be doing a lot of fun stuff like interviewing people and things like that for Native Roots Radio. So it'll be epic. And today was a great day to have the opening, and it's so great to hear that you had such a great amount of people showing up.
It is. And if folks, I mean, it's not just for Native people, right? It's for everyone. And
right.
It's a great market. And, you know, a lot of folks reach out to me or reach out to NACD, and they're wondering how to engage, you know, Native communities. And, you know, the first thing I always tell them is come to us, come to our stuff, you know, engage with us. Don't expect us to engage with you, large non-Native institution or unit of government. And if you come to our stuff and keep coming and people get accustomed to seeing you, that's where you start building that relationship, you build that trust. So if folks are kind of interested in what's going on in the local Native community, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a great entry point.
Absolutely. Geez, the next segment, I'm wondering, too, if we could talk a little bit about what's happening politically here. You know that I was a delegate here down last weekend, and I just want to get your take on what's going on. And I know your sister, Peggy, Lieutenant Governor, was an amazing speaker. The crowd was going crazy. It was just a beautiful thing, and we got to do a all Native delegate and Lieutenant Governor picture, which was really fun and rock.
What were there, maybe 40 plus Native delegates in that?
Yes, convention? Yes,
great. Good work.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things that's exciting too is I've done it once now, and now I never have to do it again. No, I'm just kidding.
Was that your first state convention?
Yes. It was like, oh my gosh. It was hard because, you know, I was drinking a lot of coffee and I was hungry. So I was hungry and angry at the same time when things were going on. And I didn't get there till late, and they still hadn't done anything. So it was like, oh, I didn't miss anything. This is great.
Right. Conventions are a certain vibe, right? I've been to dozens, scores of them.
I know. And then we could talk a little bit about Walk on TP. That was very fun. It was great to see you.
You did a great job as MC. You did a great job.
Thank you. There was some comments, though, that that the senator, the Hmong senator, state senator, spoke Dakota better than I did. So
I was impressed. He was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess talking to State Senator Mary Kunis, she said that she's been working with him for years. So that was great. He did really great. Hey, we'll talk a little bit more with that. We're with Robert Lilligren and our producer, Misko, and we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Blue Ox Music Festival, a weekend of Americana artists including Charlie Crockett and Sierra Hull, June 25th to the 27th in Eau Claire. Full lineup at blueoxmusicfestival.com.
Hey.
become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, before I get going here, we have Mark Tilson, who's a poet, podcaster, and a water protector. We got him on for a couple segments here, and then later on, Wendy's going to give us an update about Rigland Farms and those animals that they are keeping captive. And I just wanted to give people at the University of Minnesota, I was in Nick's class today and had a discussion with some students about the history of Ho-Chunk and things like that. And it was really, really a good talking circle. And I just want to give a big shout out to Nick over there at the University of Minnesota. Hey, Mark, are you able to hear us here on Native Roots Radio?
Yeah, loud and clear. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, definitely. I can't see you, but I can hear you. Good to have you on. I really appreciate you. I want to say a couple things before we get into what you want to talk about. Is I want to just say a big peenie-geegie thank you so much. I was at Wounded Knee's 50th anniversary, and I got your book of poetry, and also you helped let me just grab the book here, Voices from Wounded Knee, 1973, and reprint of that. And I just love that book, and I just want to give you a big shout out for all you did about that.
Oh, it's such an important piece of history. It's such an important document. I grew up with that book, and so like it was like a falling apart, dog-eared copy that was on our coffee table, and like just it was such an iconic moment of documenting history as it happens. And I think the reprinting of the book took as long as the actual original printing of the book. And and we did our best to track down all the original authors, photographers, and did our best to try to sort through. It was made with Akwesasne notes, and the Haudenosaunee are the spiritual descendants of Akwesasne notes, but has a publishing company that's not around anymore. Oh. So there was a lot of like, you know, feeling and asking, like, you know, very much trying to feel in the spiritual center, like, we know people want this out there, and it makes sense for it to be at the 50th, and any toes we step on to get this out there, hopefully we'll be forgiven because we're coming with the best of intent. And
well, and you definitely did. And I think it was one of the hits of the 50th anniversary. Among all the people that I met that were there for all 73 days, people that I had no idea that were in Wounded Knee. There was one actor that was on Reservation Dogs and did a couple other movies. He was there the whole time, and I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but it amazed me. All the people that we kind of see around in community were at such an important event in our Native community life.
Yeah, and I also look after Standing Rock and being a grown-up, looking at the photos and reading it, it's a very different document. It's a very different book, because it's like, I also even just noticing fashion, and it's like those bell bottoms are looking very Denver, very Minneapolis. Those aren't the regular Wranglers those Res boys were wearing back then. And then you kind of see, like, I remember this very iconic photo of these guys in front of a barricade sitting back to back. And I was like, you're not doing that in the middle of a firefight. You know, there's a photographer there. stuff that you would never even think about as a young person, as a kid reading it. And then you're looking about it and like, oh no, these guys really understood the media. Like they knew how iconographic.
Yeah. And it was like they were passing around the same rifle. The broken down rifle, I heard people were getting pictures with it. It looked like, you know, that we were all militants, but there was firearms out there too. But I think when you hear stories like that, and that's why it's funny. You
terribly sorry about this.
What are you okay? Mark, are you okay? Mark's not on right now. The book is an amazing part of history, and our guest Mark Mark had a lot to do with the book. And again, I had an opportunity to have Mark's poetry book too, but that's not one of the reasons. But I wanted to give him a quick shout out. And also, Mark is doing a podcast, I just realized too, with our friend Dallas Goldtooth, and that wanted to turn everybody on to that and how they can get Mark, can you hear me okay? So Mark's not available right now. One of the things maybe you could do, Mark, is leave the whole studio and then come back. Sometimes that resets what's going on with you. If you can hear me okay, Mark, just leave StreamYard and come right back. Some of the things from this book that Mark helped revitalize, it's called Voices from Wounded Knee, 1973. The people are standing up, and it's just an amazing, amazing. I think one of the things that when I went to with Clyde offered to take me to Clyde Belcourt, one of the original founders of American Indian Movement. We went there a couple of years before the 50th anniversary. I was really bummed out that they didn't have the church there anymore. Mark, are you able to hear me? That had been torn down because of these pictures in this magazine, or not in the magazine, but in this book and other things. That church right next to Wounded Knee was so, so iconic. Just amazing. And talking about history and being part of history. And then Mark was talking a little bit too about Standing Rock. And I had an opportunity to talk to some students today about Standing Rock, and that's going to be the 10th anniversary coming up. And it's amazing that how much things changed also in 2016, but that's also when the orange one ended up as president. So it was really kind of crazy. We were in an upward trajectory as Native Americans and people understanding the plight and the plight that's been going on for many years with Native Americans, but also second day that the orange one was in president, he signed the Dakota Access Bill to let them start digging that pipeline again that so many people all over the world were against, and supporting our neighbors at Wounded Knee and or at Standing Rock. So it was really interesting thing. Mark, are you able to hear me okay?
I can hear you good.
Hey, and I hear you too. This is awesome. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back, and we're with Mark Tilson, and we're going to talk about some another pipeline here, but I just wanted to give your flowers to you and talk about the great work that you've been doing over the years, and maybe we can talk a little bit about your podcast too with our friend Dallas. That looks really exciting. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are with our new friend, Mark Tilson, poet, podcaster, and water protector. And again, thank you so much for coming on with us here at Native Roots Radio. We really appreciate your insight and the historic things that you've been doing over the years. So I really feel honored to have you on, Mark. And thank you again. Just to remind you, you're on mute right now. So we'll unmute you and welcome back. I was just talking a little bit when you were gone there about how important Standing Rock was. Even though it was a pivotal time with the Orange One becoming president, so many great things happened. And I feel like the Seven Fires went all over Turtle Island. Native Roots Radio started as a radio show. We're in our 10th season because of Standing Rock. And Standing Rock was kind of my wounded knee, my generation's wounded knee. And so I appreciated all the work that happened, but I really loved the history too. And again, a big peeny geegee for republishing the Voices from Wounded Knee from 1973.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be here. For me too, Standing Rock was one of the most important events I've ever been part of in my life. It was absolutely historic, and we got incredibly close to victory. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, you know, kind of Uncle Rico-ing it, like, put me in, coach, we could have won. But I spent a lot of time reflecting and learning about, like, you know, we had kind of around the ideas of like functional levels of trust, functional levels of unity, and understanding that dissension and difference of opinions is only natural, and it's going to be part of all of our movements. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the beat goes on. And I know for me, and I believe you too, right after Standing Rock, Minnesota dealt with Line 3. And that was another thing where we needed our allies to step up. And we were up north in northern Minnesota, the pristine water, the headwaters of the Mississippi, and the attack on clean water again and Mother Earth.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of the things that was amazing is that, like, they looked at both in terms of, like, how to bribe tribal nations, how to ensnare the local economy, how to really get the local police on board to act as your own security force. Those techniques were, like, you know, fairly new at Standing Rock and are now have been standard operating procedure ever since. And so Enbridge learned a lot from DAPL. And I think, like, if you look at the actual the numbers, which is really interesting, I think there might have been maybe 100 more arrests at Line 3 than there was at Standing Rock.
Huh, jeez. That's crazy. Well, I know, and you were talking about the kind of the bribery of the community, talking about these jobs, and none of these jobs, high-paying jobs, were given to the community. People in the community were not on payrolls. They were getting $20 an hour holding a stop and go sign on the road, and it was ridiculous. And then also one of the things, remind our listeners too, Mark, that people were up there from all over the country staying at homeless centers so they could save money and working in the pipelines. And so ridiculous things like that were happening in the community after they, some of them welcomed the Enbridge and the pipeline fitters.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, like, all pipelines leak, and all pipelines leak and fail eventually. And we have, you know, knock on wood, we haven't seen the catastrophic failure through the new route of Line 3 that we've seen over at DAPL, which has had so many leaks that they've had to rewrite North Dakota law to report on fewer of them. And yeah, and it's also, it's crazy because, you know, I've been fighting pipelines for 10 years, but I'm recently signed on with the Indigenous Environmental Network. I've known about them for decades, worked alongside them for many years. And I think since I started, there's been like this escalation through at least four new pipelines. We're seeing the Bridger pipeline. There's a new pipeline extension that's trying to connect the main line of Enbridge to DAPL for a segment and trying to run tar sands through a piece of the Dakota Access Pipeline. And yeah, Line 5 is on active construction up near Bad River. There's the Zombie Pipeline near Santa Barbara, out where the Chumash are. And the pipeline that brings us here today, the Magellan Pipeline by One Oak in southern Minnesota. And this is an original pipeline that was made right underneath the quarry, the National Pipestone Monument, the sacred site where all, you know, almost all of the pipestone in the world comes from this one source, this one quarry for Catalinite.
Wow. And, you know, you know, it's interesting too, you're working with IEN, and isn't that Tom Gold, Goldtooth's organization too up there? So yeah. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree with Dallas. I was getting all my information from Dallas when he was at Standing Rock, and his father's been doing it for a lot longer.
Yeah, and I think Dallas up at Standing Rock was very much aware of that role that he played, was like to be the person going live on social media, articulating what's really going on the ground. You got to remember, like, one of the main roles at Standing Rock I wanted to take on was literally just parsing information, because we had so much misinformation and active disinformation throughout that whole time.
Right, correct. And that's why Native Roots Radio started, is because of all the misinformation or lack of information that was coming out of mainstream media, which, you know, was ridiculous. I would go there, spend 4 days, drop off supplies, and come back to the Twin Cities, and the reports were not what I saw, you know. So that's all we talked about on Native Roots Radio the first few months of being on the air, because of all the misinformation. We had people boots on the ground informing us what really was happening. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, Mark.
Yeah, I think it's also like, you know, one of the pieces of propaganda that we're always seeing is, as part of the tool set, is creating a social media counter narrative. Appears to be now part of that standard operating procedure coming from these security firms that are working for the pipeline companies, as there seems to be an active intelligence component to the pipeline security. And there's a couple of key things that they found that will like weaponize the community around, specifically around resistance camps, is the idea that the, you know, Native resistance camps are littering, and they use Standing Rock as one of the primary examples. And one of the things that people forget is, you know, it's really hard to clean up an orderly camp when you're pushed out by a military force.
Right. Exactly. I agree 100%. It's amazing. You know, we got a couple more minutes. I'm wondering if you're going to be able to stay on for just another segment after this. But I always like to hear what a call to action is and what our listeners can do to help support you, Mark, and support what's happening to our quarry, beautiful quarry, and what people can do.
Yeah, I can stay on.
So what do you think some of the call to action is right now that you can let our listeners know?
Right now we're gathering public comments for the public for the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. There's been this whole cultural survey that has happened, and now they're waiting for feedback. Currently, most of the new comments in the docket is actually from people who are been recruited, as I was talking about, has like the pipeline's community assets are at work gathering their public comments as well. And so right now there's a dozen comments or so that is coming out on how needed this pipeline is, how necessary it is, how it's going to help the economy. Like literally all the same stories we've been hearing this whole time. It's going to boost the economy. There's going to be more jobs. This is an absolute necessity. And we need people to write comments to the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. And I'm going to grab the docket number right here real quick. And cool. One of the things that's...
No, I said cool. Yeah, we'll put it up too, and send it out during commercial break, and we'll put it up on the screen too. Mark, I just think it's great that you're on top of this and talking about this. We really do need updates of what's happening to our communities all over Turtle Island here. So, again, I really, really appreciate you coming on. And let's talk a little bit more next segment about what people can do and how can they find more information about IEN too.
Yeah.
Right on. Hey, so the show's been good for you so far?
So far, so good.
All right. Well, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Hey, we're here with Mark Tilson, poet, podcaster, and water protector, and we're talking about more pipelines again. So we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wah.
Invited to party like it's 1999 million years ago. Science Club is back at the Science Museum of Minnesota. On June 13th, you can celebrate Pride with dancing, dinos, and other discoveries. You can be dazzled by a show-stopping drag performance, make your own slime, explore museum galleries, and dance the night away with your community. Whether you're here to dance, sip, or wander, Club Minnesota is the place to be. You can get tickets at smm.org.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we are with Mark Tilson, poet, podcaster, and water protector, and people watching us on YouTube, Facebook, and X, and Blue Sky. We have up where you can do a public comment now, and thank you so much, Mark, for sending that out to us and doing what you're doing. And there's a lot of comments on our social media about the great job you're doing. So, again, thank you so much for coming on.
It's important work, and I'm really honored and privileged to be a part of it. And, and one of the things that I knew is, hey, this is our source for pipestone. But I don't think I really understood how geologically speaking, incredibly rare it is. There is another quarry, I think, in Canada for black catalinite. But for pipestone, as we know it, this is one of the only sources in the entire world. I was visiting with Dr. Alexis Archambault out of Standing Rock, and she said that this particular formation took over a billion years for these crystalline structures to form. And like, as long as we've lived on this earth, we've had connections here. And for the Lakota people, our story goes back to Desangwe, the white buffalo calf pipe, who really institutionalized the Chanupa as our primary tool for connection to creation and creator. And like right now, it's kind of crazy. It's like there's six different tribal governments who are participating in the cultural survey that has been ordered by the PUC and implemented by a contractor for the Magellan Pipeline. And there's 17 tribes that were were asked to be included. And in the national monument itself, there's 23 tribes mentioned. But if you're thinking about how many tribal nations actually use pipestone, you're talking about all of the Lakota, all of the Dakota, all of the Ojibwe. And then you start seeing, well, I know Cree who Sundance and use pipes. I know Diné. I know Navajo. I know Choctaw, Chickasaw. Like, you can go through the whole list.
Don't forget Ho-Chunk.
Ho-Chunks. them Winnebagos and the Ho-Chunks. Like, yeah. And so that's one of the things that I'm trying to communicate both to the PUC and to also other, like, throughout Indian country, is like, this is not a Minnesota issue. This is an issue about Indian country standing up to pipelines, and anybody who uses those chinupas and those pipes as part of our spirituality. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even know if the Public Utilities Commission in the state of Minnesota really understand the history of our spirituality, of like how it was outlawed by the Code of Indian Offenses for almost 100 years, mm-hmm. that our way of life went underground. Like, having a chinupa back in the day was probable cause for being a militant, for being a radical, for being a militant, for being an outside agitator, even if you were in your home community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's amazing. And I believe, too, part of the show and what you do with your podcast and our politicians here in Minnesota that are Native, we are teaching people that want to be taught about the Native ways and our allies. And like you said, they probably don't even know because of the way they talk about history.
Yeah, and I mean, we're like, you know, Minnesota had the slightly controversial new flag, but they had to grapple with and took head on and saying, like, hey, the iconography of the old Minnesota flag was of an immigrant farmer plowing virgin fields and waving to a Dakota person headed westbound. It was like, it's a very polite euphemism for the genocide of Dakota people and the relocation to Davenport, Iowa, and putting on steamer boats and sent up the Missouri River. But that's where my Dakota family is descended from, is from refugees from the Dakota War.
Well, and as you know, Mark, too, I talked about this at the University of Minnesota today, is that Ho-Chunk were removed for the heck of it. And we've had our own eight Trail of Tears of being moved around all over. And our Winnebago relatives ended up in Nebraska, but many, many people took the canoe ride back up to Wisconsin because they did not want to be removed. But we had great, great virgin land that down in Rochester, Mankato, and it was stolen from us just because we were Native American, and they wanted to get the Lakota Dakotas out. But both of us, our tribes are illegal to be living here in Minnesota right now.
Yeah, I like it. This kind of is one of the things about line three. And it's also one of the things that I'm trying to get across is like, we're not talking about dealing with one or two isolated tribes. I mean, if you count all of the Ocheti Shakoe and all of the reserves in Canada, that's 170,000 people.
Yeah.
If you count us collectively, we're like the second largest tribe in the entire country. And I don't know what people's appetite is for another Standing Rock type pipeline resistance. But I know the state of Minnesota doesn't want that. And I think that's like one of the things that we're trying to like very rationally tell them is like, hey, right now we're doing this as a matter of bureaucratic process. This is a polite conversation. And we're asking you to be in good relation with our tribal nations. And, you know, we're trying to get you to move at an international standard with the United Nations Declaration on Indigenous People and Our Rights, and trying to understand what free and prior informed consent really means, at the very least of like beginning and having these nation to nation relationships with our tribal people, instead of like the pipeline company, who's our adversary, choosing to hire their own contractor. Oh, and before I get too far into it, there's some drama there. So the Public Utilities Commission ordered the pipeline company to work with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council in choosing a culturally informed and appropriate contractor for their cultural survey. And they didn't at all. They made a unilateral decision, disobeyed the PUC order, went their whole way by themselves, and kind of botched the survey. I just want to give a shout out to all the people over at Braveheart Society who have been really holding so much of the organizing and so much of the work and strategy. And I think for the first public comment period, I think it was 2 years ago, we got something like 50,000 public comments during that time frame.
Wow.
And it was an incredible outpouring. And, I want to give Tchumi Face Spotted Eagle, like, big shout out to them, Ikdomi, Dr. Alexis, Elijah, the whole crew out there. And they've been doing incredible work. And right now, there was an alternative to find both Lakota people and other people who could have done a cultural survey in a highly competent, culturally grounded manner, and that was never even really considered. And one of the things that's kind of great is you get to see when you piss off an elder and then they translate that into bureaucratic language. I saw Steve Vance. He's the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer out of Cheyenne River. And the way that he responded was just so clear. And he was like, I don't want a pipeline built. And you guys didn't even ask if that was an option. Mm-hmm. And it was just so shocking and just absolute having no ambiguity in language or in clarity. And that's one of the beautiful parts about these public comment periods. Your comments are open to the public. This is one of the few moments in time where everyone gets to be transparent and say to the world and to the state of Minnesota why you don't want this pipeline built. And for us, it's not a matter of simply just a reroute, because right now there's I think it's under a mile is the reroute proposal. And there's an alternative route of 3 miles and another of 5. And it's almost as if they're just trying to say, how far away can we do exactly what we want to do anyways and not upset you? And it's like, you're not exactly listening. You need to have the nation-to-nation relationship. You need to talk about free and prior informed consent. You need to understand that it's not a matter of just the safety of the Pipestone Monument. It's that these pipelines lead and contribute to the profit margins that are fueling this catastrophic climate change, which is shockingly obvious to anybody. We're seeing unprecedented forest fires. We're seeing storms and drought. Mm-hmm. And they have no real plan to stop catastrophic climate change. And the very fact that we're even entertaining the idea of building more pipeline infrastructure. And
it's amazing. We got a minute here. How can people follow you on IEN? Is there a website or Facebook that people that are listening can follow you and support you of what's going on and keep updated? And Mark, too, I'd love to have you come in as often as you'd like to give our listening audience updates, too.
Oh, yeah. We got 3 weeks until June 22nd. This is also just for the initial comments. IENEarth.org is our website and the Indigenous Environmental Network on Facebook and also Indigenous Rising on Instagram. And yeah.
Wow. And again.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.